This is the message delivered in the morning service on December 11, 2022 by Pastor Kazuya Ishida. The message title is, May Your Word to Me Be Fulfilled. The scripture passage is from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 35 through 38. Good morning. Let us look at Book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 35 through 38. The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Jesus was born to forgive our sins, to give us life, and to give us the light of hope in the dark world. This Christmas happened suddenly 2,000 years ago, and it's not just for that moment. Since the time of the Old Testament, God's plan has existed, and to this day, God's plan of salvation continues. Since the time of the Old Testament, the preparations for Christmas began, and it is still happening today, which is why we celebrate Christmas every year. The other day, I was talking about a day service called Everyday Christmas with a staff member of Kira Kira Service. Even if it's not every day, every year, as we spend Christmas, I would like us to turn our attentions to the fact that Christmas is still going on. Christmas is not the event of a sudden baby falling from heaven, but the birth of the Savior through a single maiden named Mary. It is also an event in which we are involved. Christmas is an amazing event that not only had God's grand plan, but that many people were involved in that plan. This Christmas event is still going on. I would like to make this Christmas a time not only to celebrate the birth of Jesus, but also to think about how God works through us. Recently, you may often hear the word for the first time in 3 years. There was also a firework in November for the first time in 3 years. And some events at the church took place for the first time in 3 years. For example, the Kira Kira Kai resumed its activity for the first time in 3 years, and I remembered the pleasure and joy of gathering together, going out together, eating together, talking together, and laughing together. And above all, it was the time to experience God's rich grace through relationships between people. Even when we gather, there are people who pick up and drop off, and we help each other and get together. Even when we eat, if the amount of food prepared is too large, someone else will eat it for others. Even when moving around, some people push someone's wheelchair while others walk with them. In such fellowship between people, we feel the love and warmth of the living God. Listening to the words of the Bible and worshiping are of course important. However, not only that, as we gather together and have relationships with each other, we will experience the work of God working through people. Isn't it an important thing that we are forgetting in the COVID? Christmas was also an event that happened in the relationship between God and people, and the relationship between people. And even now, Christmas events happen in our relationship with God and us. The events of Christmas are things that happen in the relationship between God and people, and in the relationship between people. It's a promise that dates back to Genesis, long before Christmas actually happened. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 3 reads, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" Blessings are brought to people in the relationship between God and people and through people. Preparations for Christmas had already begun from Genesis. God worked through the faith of 75-year-old Abraham. Abraham walked in God's plan by his faith, and it became the foundation of blessings. Moreover, God's plan is not something that all goes well in human senses, but a mysterious guidance and the human beings cannot imagine, something that cannot be predicted, and it does not seem like things will progress as human beings wish. Abraham surrendered himself to God's mysterious guidance and decided to dedicate his life. And even if he devoted his life, he was only responsible for the beginning of the grand plan of God, which was never completed in the time of Abraham. Abraham's life is the life of a believer who lives in God's plan of salvation. At this year's Senior Citizens Honoring Service in September, I introduced Abraham as a model for believers to follow. Guided by the Lord God, Abraham built an altar in the land of Canaan and worshipped, but still experienced various hardships. He experienced a famine in a land where there should have been a blessing. Even though he lived a God-directed life, he experienced poverty and he experienced strife. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." A lot has happened since 75-year-old Abram heard God's voice and began his journey. There was a growing fear of what life would be like in the future. God said to Abraham, "Don't be afraid." I wonder if God has forgotten the promise of the blessings. Abraham's anxiety grew, but God was certainly with Abraham. He knew that Abraham had doubts, anxieties, fears, helplessness, loneliness, and many other thoughts. God called to Abraham. He said, "Don't be afraid. You'll be fine. Take it easy." The word "fear not" at this time is the first word "fear not" that appears in the Bible. The life of Abraham, the father of faith, was filled with fear. And in the same way, the words "don't be afraid" will be applied to Mary, the mother of Jesus. God's plan of salvation, the plan of Christmas, is a marvelous, grand plan of God that transcends the fearsome human thoughts and deeds. And now, I would like to keep in mind that we are also made alive as one believer in God's plan of salvation that surprises and frightens us. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. God took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." For Abraham, the biggest problem was that he was childless. He was over 75 years old, and being childless worried Abraham, as it was said that through your descendants the blessings will go forth. Not only that, but in the 10 years since he was led to the land of Canaan, he has been plagued with various practical problems. Will God's plan of blessing really come true? In God's grand plan, there was Abraham who was struggling between human thoughts and religious thoughts. Abraham honestly asked the Lord God, "How will your plan come true? And then, what should I do? I have no children, but does that mean I will adopt a child? Will it mean that I will inherit the son of a slave?" Abraham asked God about his plan. But the Lord God said, "Only one born of yourself must follow in your footsteps." God can do things that humans cannot. There are things that come true when God works in Abraham's life. God's work in Mary's life can make things come true. And there are things that come true when God works in our life. Now look up into the sky. Do you know who made these stars in the sky? Can you make the stars of heaven? I am the one who made the stars in the sky. Even if you cannot do it, I can do it, God says. Lord God, when we are unable to comprehend or imagine God's grand plan, and when we are preoccupied with practical problems, troubles, worried, anxious, and afraid, He is the one who accepts and understands all that we have and says, "Now look up at heaven." From a human point of view, it may be said that such a thing is impossible. However, if God, who created this heaven and who gave light to the world, is planning to do it, it will surely come true. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Abraham believed the Lord. In fact, Abraham believed even though he did not see his son. From a human point of view, it would have been impossible for an elderly couple to have children, but Abraham believed. Abraham believed in the Lord. He believed in God who made the heavens and the earth. He believed that God could do what he thought was humanly impossible. Just believing in the Lord, just expecting from the Lord, waiting for the fulfillment of his promises, this is the faith of Abraham, the father of faith. Abraham's children certainly received God's blessing and multiplied. From the beginning of the Bible, from Genesis, the preparation for Christmas began. This preparation for Christmas, God's plan, have been handed down from Abraham to Isaac, Jacob, and the next generation, generation after generation, to the believers who live in God's plan. Christmas is the event that God, who promised blessings to Abraham, sent the Savior to realize the blessings. God, who worked through the aged Abraham, through the ages, worked through the engaged and the young Mary. It seems that God deliberately chose the aged Abraham and the Virgin Mary to represent His power. And in the same way, He chose us, who are sinful, weak, and inadequate, to continue to carry out God's plan. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." God chose Mary by grace. Choosing Abraham was also a one-sided choice and a blessing. God is the one who chooses us by grace. And God, who chose Abraham, chose Mary, and chose us, will always be with us and will guide us, just as He promised. The Lord is with you. God chose Mary by His grace and promised to be with her always. However, Mary was surprised by the suddenness and she was puzzled. Why? What will happen next? Like Abraham, in his old age, anxiety and fear arise. We can live comfortably and calmly within our own thoughts and humanly understandable and imaginable circumstances. But once God works in our lives, we cannot understand it, and we are filled with anxiety and fear. God, who told Abraham, "Do not be afraid," said to Mary through an angel. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." The bewildered Mary is told, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." At this time, Mary was told, "Congratulations, blessed one, the Lord is with you." Mary did not think that she will benefit something like winning a lottery, nor that her life would be especially blessed. She realized that what was about to happen to her was that she was about to be utilized to fulfill the promise of blessing that God promised to Abraham. She realized that God was about to work through her and that God's salvation and blessings were to be brought to people through her. That made her even more surprised and confused. There was Mary's faith and her expectation of God's plan. It is later revealed through Mary's hymns, in which she meditates on God's plans, praising God's works, and praising God. In her hymn to God, Mary praises like this in Luke chapter 1, verses 54 and 55. Mary says, "He has helped His servants Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as He promised our ancestors." What God gives us is mercy and grace. What we are given at Christmas is salvation through Jesus Christ, and it is through a mercy and grace. In God's plan, we feel fear and confusion. However, God never tries to embarrass us or give us suffering without meaning. Certainly, both Abraham and Mary went through hard times. In such a situation, Mary, who was about to be led by God, praised God who helped and guided her without forgetting His mercy. God, who never forgets His mercy towards Abraham and his descendants, works in Mary and in us. The work of help and salvation through God's mercy is not limited to the individual salvation of Abraham or Mary, but spreads throughout the world and beyond the ages. Through Abraham, it spread to the people of Israel, and through Mary, through the church, and through us, the salvation of Jesus spreads to the world. While praising God who is merciful and praising God who has certainly worked throughout history, at the same time, we are troubled by practical problems. As old Abraham asked God how he would have more offspring, Mary, who was told, "You will conceive and give birth to a son," also said to the angel in Luke chapter 1, verse 34, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." With faith, Mary hears God's plan and asks, "What should I do? How will this plan be fulfilled?" Then, through the angel, there was an answer from God. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Angels said that things would happen by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God. Just as God said to Abraham, "Now look up at the sky," and told him that because God made the stars in the sky, he can do what Abraham cannot do. Mary was told that by the power of God, the Savior would be born. Therefore, as we meditate on the events of Christmas, we also want to remember to entrust ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit and God working in us, just like Abraham and Mary did. "What humans cannot do, God can do," the angel continued and said to Mary. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. "For no word from God will ever fail." Mary trusted this promise. God, who called Abraham and called Mary, is the one who calls us. We likewise want to trust the promise that nothing is impossible with God. Trusting in this promise, Mary decided to continue walking in God's plan and in God's guidance. As she pondered the merciful guidance of God that has continued since the Old Testament, she thought that she would play an important role in the future and thought about her own future. Of course, she must have had worries and anxiety about the fact that she was going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit, that she would have to raise a son, she was to name Jesus from birth, about the relationship with her fiancé Joseph, about many difficulties while not being able to see the future. Yet Mary decided to trust and surrender to her merciful God. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary entrusted herself to God by saying, "I am the servant of the Lord," asking God to use her for what God wants to do, even if there are difficulties, and said, "May your word to me be fulfilled." The events of Christmas 2,000 years ago were possible only because of Mary's faith. Moreover, it can be said that the preparation for Christmas began because of Abraham's faith. The events of Christmas are events that took place in God's grand plan, which began with Genesis and was realized through God's merciful work and the work of faith of many believers. It happened. This great plan of God does not end with the birth of Jesus. Christmas is not over yet. Year after year, Christmas continues. We are also living in God's plan. In our walk of faith, the Holy Spirit works, the power of God works, and the salvation of Jesus spreads. Recalling the events of Christmas and remembering that God is still working, I wondered what would happen to me and how I would be used by God's power. I would like us to spend this Christmas time praying that the Lord God's blessings and salvation would continue to spread through the body of ours. Let us pray.